Well, I thought we might take a different perspective on this whole leadership spill debacle that's been going on for the last week in Canberra. One expert believes that despite the fact that we've gone through this again, by leaving former Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party, Julie Bishop, out, we've proved that while we know women make good leaders, we don't believe they can be. Sally Tebow is a life strategist and joins us now. Sally, is that really the case? Do we really believe deep down that women can't be good leaders?
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's what we call unconscious bias. And it was watching what played out last week where we see this. Now, you know, when Julie Bishop went into that party room, only 11 votes. And people were asked to vote with their heads, not their hearts. Now, isn't it interesting that someone who'd been a deputy for 11 years was overlooked by somebody else because for whatever reason they believe that that's what would get the party across the line? So you've got to ask the question, what's really going on?
Yeah, well, see, I, as a former political insider, I look at that and say, well, the people that voted against Julie Bishop were doing so because they were afraid of losing their own pre-selections because they were strong-armed by factional leaders. I don't know that Julie Bishop's gender had anything to do with it at all.
Well, isn't it interesting? You know, the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Equity Report rates Australia as number 35 in the world. And not only that, but we sit at number 48 for political empowerment for women. And incredibly, New Zealand sits at number 9. So we've got to kind of look at what's really going on here.
But what does that mean? I mean, how do these metrics work? Because if I look at Australia at the moment, we've got a female premier in New South Wales, a female premier in Queensland. As you say, Julie Bishop was a deputy for 11 years. We've got we've had a female prime minister in Julia Gillard, and you know, you might say she was torn down early, but I think that was more a factor of just the way Canberra works at the moment. we've had Carmen Lawrence, we've had Joan Kerner. There have been quite a number of female leaders across Australia's political spectrum.
Well, that particular measurement is based on heads of state.
Okay.
So they are female heads of state. So Julia Gillard was actually female head of state for 3 years and 2 days to be exact, whereas New Zealand now, they have female leader for a total of 12 years.
Okay.
And so we are falling way behind in that. In fact, we're behind many nations, not just even developed nations. We're behind many nations when it comes to females. And, of course, now we're looking to have more women who are resigning from cabinet based on these bullying allegations. So, once again, you know, are we falling behind in this area?
Yeah, okay. I again, look at that and think, well, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen when it comes to politics. But it's interesting. What other countries are ahead of us then? I mean, New Zealand obviously is number 9, and that's a long way ahead because they've had two female prime ministers now, I think, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that's right. But we've had the Scandinavian countries are way ahead of us.
Okay.
In fact, their gender parity is up around 85%. And then we have countries like Rwanda who are also ahead of us. They have more women in political positions than we do.
So what do you think this says about us?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot going on here. We judge women terribly. You know, there was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday in regards to Julie Bishop, and they talked about her, you know, her shoes. She was $1,500 shoes and she jogs with celebrities. I mean, nobody asks those questions or makes those comments about the male. So, you know, when it comes to judgment, what men are judged for being tough and strong and decisive and a team player, whereas women, and especially in the case what happened with Julia Gillard, was that she was judged on her weight and her age and whether she was married or not, whether she decided to have children or not. And so the playing field is not always very level. And when it comes to that, what we then happen is what we call this unconscious bias. So people kind of, when the media kind of beats up all this, you know, judgment, we begin to look at people a little bit differently.
Do certain women, and I don't mean women is in general, but let's look at the individuals for a moment. Do they have to take some responsibility for this themselves? And you mentioned Julia Banks, the Victorian Liberal MP who's decided to call it quits. You know, I mean, there were plenty of blokes who were pressured into voting the way they did during this leadership thing, but they have, well, apart from the Prime Minister himself, haven't pulled a pin. And then we have Emma Hussar, the member for Lindsay in Western Sydney, who has been, you know, some of the allegations made against her have been quite legitimate and would have been levelled against a man as well, but she's chosen to play the victim and play that gender card over this. Do those individuals have to take some responsibility?
Well, it's really interesting when we come to bullying, isn't it? Because, you know, is Julia Banks calling it out? And you know, when we talk about bullying, our focus is on children.
Yeah.
But when we've got this top-down approach, when this is happening and you know, when we have people such as, you know, Craig Kelly saying you've got to roll with the punches, well, you know what? Maybe we don't. And maybe Julia Banks is saying, you know what? I'm not going to put up with this. I don't need this in my life. And I think there's more people, not just women, but more people that need to say that, because, you know, we hold our elected representatives in high esteem. We're looking at people who can represent us, not only, you know, in working in their particular ridings, but we want them to be role models. That's what we're looking for. And I think what she's done, gender calling out or whatever, she's saying, I'm not putting up with this.
Yeah, okay. So in general, what do you think the solution is?
I think the solution is, number one, we need to look at what the unconscious stuff is underneath all this. There's a couple of things, you know, this unconscious bias that's kind of run. We make judgments, you know, very quickly. A thing called sabotage threat, which is really interesting. In fact, I had a conversation today with a female leader who was saying, you know, the biggest issue women have is asking for gender parity. They tend to hold back for asking, whereas men kind of, you know, are quite happy to say what they want and ask what they want. Women find it very difficult. So it's a lot of it's kind of unconscious. And then the last thing I think, and this was really interesting, Peter Credlin actually posted this when she said, you know, in the 6 years I've worked as chief of staff as a party's federal leader, I've never known a woman to advocate for another woman, not ever. Okay. And I think if we're going to ask women to step up and be part of our leadership for our country, we have to look at how we're going to help them mentor it. I mean, Julie Bishop has said a couple of times, very lonely at the top for her. You know, when she was foreign minister, she was the only woman amongst 19 men. Or 13 men. And I think that's part of the problem, is that we need more mentoring, both male and female. And just that women need male mentors as much as females. But in that part where they're trying to hang on to their seat to reach down and mentor other people, because it would be a really difficult thing to do.
But surely, what do you think about the concept of quotas, though? I mean, surely it still needs to be on merit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't like the idea of quotas. And I think if you speak to most women, they don't either. Most women who are wanting to represent their country or even be in their as a CEO and board level, they don't want quotas, because that doesn't represent anything. I think it's a whole thing about how can we help these women as far as mentoring them, you know, sitting down once a month for a coffee, or, you know, it can be, you know, as unorganized as that, just a coffee to talk about, okay, so here are some of the issues I'm going through, and for a woman to feel confident and strong enough to be able to share the struggles that she's going through. What happens for many women is they don't say anything because they're terrified of being, you know, and we have a different leadership style. That's the whole thing. We have a different leadership style, but trying to beat and do a man's leadership style, it's not going to work for us.
Yeah, and well, I guess that's a cue to individualism. I think it's an interesting perspective. Sally, I really do appreciate your time this evening.
Thanks for having me.
That's Sally Tebow, a life strategist. Well, what do you think? Do you think you have an unconscious bias against women? If you're a woman, what do you see in your line of work? 132710 is the number.